The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. And we're really about to make a transition in the book of Matthew. It's kind of divided up into four sections, and the fourth section starts in chapter 21 when Jesus really comes into Jerusalem. So welcome to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland with you today. Alex, it's fun to be able to ask you this question. Where are you today?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I am in some beautiful country. I am in West Virginia. And, you know, with COVID, I haven't done a lot of traveling over recent months. But, Bert, we've been having a time, and I know a lot of people are listening, in Augusta, West Virginia, Christ Community Church. And we've had great services on Saturday, all day yesterday. And tonight, you know, folks, if you're anywhere in the vicinity at 6:30 tonight, Christ Community Church, we're going to be opening God's Word. So it's good to be able to travel and preach the Word and see God ignite revival.
Here at AFR headquarters, one of the, I guess, the most fun we have is where in the world is Alex today? And because of the COVID virus, we haven't been able to do that much lately. So it's good to be back on track with that, Alex. It really is. And tomorrow night, you're going to be somewhere as well, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where?
Tomorrow night, you know, we're going to be in Fayetteville with Wesley Wildman and Abe Hamilton III. We're going to be at Rockfish Church in Fayetteville. We're just going to pray. We're going to talk about what God is doing in this country to bring people to Christ. But Wesley Wildman has worked really hard. And I want to say a big shout out, Bert, to Pastor Tony McVickers and all the dear people at Rockfish. They have been a great friend to Exploring the Word and myself and AFA. And so tomorrow night, folks, 6:30 p.m., if you're in the greater Fayetteville area, come on over to Rockfish Church and let's join together as we pray for our nation.
You will enjoy that, being there with those guys. You will just enjoy it. So I hope you can make it. Well, today is we're in chapter 20, verse 17. And let me read that, and I want to set it up, and I'll give it to you for commentary, Alex. This is where Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. That's an important fact. He's going up to Jerusalem. Now, where he's been in Jericho, and he goes this way. And you'll find some more of this information in Mark chapter 10, Luke chapter 18. And if you were studying a synoptic gospel, you would have them side by side. And each one of these gospels adds a little bit of detail to this and that. It really adds to it. It doesn't detract. It adds to. But listen, Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again." Now, Alex, this is the third time when he was up at Caesarea Philippi. He did it the first time and told them in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, what he was about to do, that the time was coming that he would go to Jerusalem and he would suffer many things and be killed. He adds to it each time, and after that's when Peter would rebuke him and say, "Not so, Lord." Peter got put in his place. And then in Matthew chapter 17, it's the second time on this journey from Caesarea Philippi on the way to Jerusalem that he would tell them, Matthew 17, 22 through 23, that Jesus, the Son of Man, is about to be betrayed into the hands of men and to be killed, and the third day he'll be raised up. Now, after that, we find in chapter 18 where they began to argue over who was the greatest. Now, notice this. The first time, Peter rebuked him. The second time, just a little bit later, they started arguing over who is the greatest. Now, here's the third time in Matthew chapter 20, as I said, verses 17 through 19 that I've read. And I just want to do this, and I want you to go back, but I want to set this up. Verse 20, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, that's James and John, came to Jesus with her sons kneeling down and asking. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and other on the left in your kingdom." Now, Alex, each time that Jesus would share concerning him going to Jerusalem and dying, and this time he adds to it to be scourged and also to be crucified. It's specific, not just killed, but to be crucified. Each time the reaction from some or one or all of the apostles were not that good. You know, it really makes me think, Bert, when you hear about what God's done for you, how he, Jesus, would go to the cross and how he would give himself a ransom for me, how do I respond? Do I respond with casualness and just live my life? Or do I come to him in humility and say, "Lord, I owe you everything"? So, Alex, you know, these men, they had a lot to learn, but the Holy Spirit of God that he puts in them is going to teach them some great things, isn't he?
Well, he is. You know how the Bible says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift."
Yes.
And I think about how the Father sent the Son, and the Son was willing to go to the cross, be nailed to the cross, and all the chastisement of our peace was upon him. All the wrath of sin that we deserve was poured onto Jesus. That's why it is an unspeakably wonderful, beautiful gift of love and grace. And the idea that the promised Messiah would be cruelly, viciously executed. I mean, I think it took them a long time to comprehend. Maybe they didn't even fully grasp it till they were watching it happen. But notice this, and we're in Matthew 20, 17 through 19. There's a reference to the chief priests, the scribes, and the Gentiles. Now, the chief priests were the religious leaders. The scribes that were the copyists, and they made copies of the Bible. Sometimes they were called the teachers of the law. And then they're going to condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged. Now, the Gentiles were like dogs, profane, unclean, outside the temple. And Bert, do you think for Peter, James, and John and all the disciples, verse 17, the 12 disciples, you know, all their life, they had probably been trained to listen to the Pharisees and the chief priests. All their life, they'd been told about the scribes, that nobody knows the word of God like the scribes do. And yet, Jesus is basically saying, look, these ultra-religious leaders, the teachers of the law, they've got it wrong. Here, I'm the Messiah, but they don't get it. And I'm going to be lifted up and crucified. But, verse 19, I'm going to be raised on the third day. So, folks, let me just say this. Religion isn't what saves you. Secular moralism, the law, doesn't save you. As a Gentile, you might have money, power, whatever. In a way, in a broad way, these three sectors of society, the Gentiles, the religious Jews, and the teachers of the law, they all represent lostness. So how can a person be saved? Through a relationship to Christ.
And it's only through him. And there is no other way. Jesus is the way. You know, the life, you know, the truth. He is. There is no other way. Anybody else that tries to come up any other way, the Bible says, you're as a thief and a robber. And so today, if you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, would you trust him today? It's not a magic formula. It is a starting of a relationship that is now and forever once you really mean it in your heart. So I pray that you'd, and if you need help in that, there's a phone number that you can call, 800-NEED-HIM, 800-NEED-HIM, or if you need to go online, go to Chat About Jesus, and they will help you and strengthen you, and they will help you to come to that relationship that is real. Alex, one more thing before we get through the 19. Each time he said he would die, and then he'd be killed, but here in verse 19, crucify. Each time, these three times, Matthew 16, Matthew 17, Matthew 20, on their road to Jerusalem, he gets more and more specific concerning this death. And it is crucifixion. And the Gentiles, that is Romans, the Roman, because that's the way they did it. And so here it is. Jesus is very specific in what's going to happen. And again, I think they hear it, but I don't think they consume it. I have a hard time understanding. I wasn't there, and so sometimes do you hear what you want to hear and ignore what you want to ignore sometimes?
But yeah, I think in life you do that a lot of times, especially when something is just so far outside the realm of what you might have expected. And, you know, this is the promised Messiah. And even to this day, Bert, don't you think the idea that Almighty God would come and humble himself and be obedient even to the death on the cross? The fact that the first time he came as a suffering Savior, now he will return as a conquering king, but the first time a sacrificial lamb, and God's strength manifested in Christ's humility. Don't you think that's a lot for some people to really comprehend?
It is. Matter of fact, I mean, they just had to ignore the suffering servant in Isaiah. They had to ignore some of the messianic psalms. Psalm 22 is so specific. And I do, you know, they just, when you start deliberately doing something, you can do it easier the next time, you know? And so when Jesus comes on the scene and he shows them, as John would say it, many infallible truths concerning who he was, and they willfully ignored it, Alex. And that's why people need to get saved now. The longer you put it off, I don't understand everything I know about Pharaoh and his heart being hardened and God hardening his heart. I don't claim to. I know a little bit. I've got a glimpse of it. But I just know this. Today's the day of salvation. You better not put off today what you need to. You don't need to put it off because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring, do you?
You really don't. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day will bring forth. And we've said it many times, you know, procrastination has put more people in hell because they fully intended to deal with God sometime and they put it off too long. But verse 20 and following, the mother of the sons of Zebedee came and they said, you know, as you read, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in the kingdom. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm to drink? And you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, folks, Jesus prayed and said, this cup, you know, if it be thy will, you know, thy will be done, the cup of suffering. They said, we can do this. But Jesus said, you will drink my cup, but to sit at the right hand of my left or my right is not mine to grant. It is for those to whom it has been prepared by my Father. Now, do you think, Bert, that Jesus was referencing the fact that the disciples would die as martyrs?
I really do believe that. And, you know, we have evidence of it completely. And again, he says, you really don't know what you're asking. They wanted the crown, as some people said, without the cross. They wanted the glory without the agony, you know, and the thrones that is offered. Jesus is sitting on the throne. You remember, the Bible says God gave him a name, the Father, that is higher than any other name. When did he do that? After he became obedient to the cross. You know, that crucifixion, I don't know how, could he be elevated anymore? I don't understand all that, but I do know that through the suffering that Jesus did on the cross, we have life through the resurrection. We'll be back with more right after this break.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health. His agency is made up of 27 separate institutes and centers conducting and funding biomedical and public health research. Proverbs 1:7 reminds us of the importance of obtaining wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for wisdom for Francis Collins as he leads the research efforts at the NIH. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Access our free prayer resources to help guide you through the selection season.
Available now at pausetopray.org.
There's no point heeding a warning if it only applies to somebody else. Or is there? Dr. Tony Evans says that's a question worth considering. He'll tell us more as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Perhaps you remember the story of the mouse. He went to the barn and told the chicken, the pig, and the cow, just thought you need to know, Farmer Brown just bought a mouse trap. The chicken, the pig, and the cow said, I don't know why you told us that. A mouse trap is your problem. A few days later, a poisonous snake got caught in the mouse trap. Mrs. Brown was walking by the mouse trap, and the snake, who hadn't died yet, bit her. Her husband comes in and says, I see you're sick. What can I do for you? She says, I think I need me some chicken soup. Farmer Brown goes to the barn, gets the chicken. But Farmer Brown's got to work. So he gets some of the ladies in the neighborhood to come over in the morning to check on his wife, but he got to feed them breakfast. So he goes to the barn, and he gets the pig. But unfortunately, Farmer Brown's wife dies. They come over to the house after the funeral, and Farmer Brown got to feed all these people. So he goes, and he gets the cow. The mouse said, I tried to tell him, but they didn't get the message. Satan has a mouse trap. But because we don't think it relates to us, we don't pay attention to it. We think this mouse trap is for everybody else. Until we see the repercussions, we find ourselves caught up in it down the line.
You can escape the devil's trap and live a brand new life that starts now and goes on for eternity. To find out how, visit TonyEvans.org. Click on the link that says Jesus and check out Tony's video that explains everything. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go, let us make disciples. As we go, let us tell the world of Christ.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so glad you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. We are in Matthew chapter 20. And before we continue in the scripture, I want to say a prayer. But Bert, let me just say this. As Peter, James, and John are there, and James and John and their mother said, you know, can the boys sit on the right hand and the left hand of you, your throne in your kingdom? And Jesus says, you know, no, you don't know what you're asking. They're going to die a martyr's death. And he says, you know, the Gentiles exercise, rulers of the Gentiles lord it over people, but it shouldn't be like that among you. Whoever would be great among you must be the servant of all, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Very beautiful. All right, they're going out of Jericho. A crowd comes and two blind men. And it says Jesus had pity on them and touched their eyes. Right now, we have people in America facing extreme weather. And
it's extreme one way. I guess Alex dropped real quick. He's up in West Virginia, and sometimes we have that. Are you back, Alex?
I'm back.
Okay. Just a second. Go ahead.
Well, in verse 34, the pity of Jesus. And let's pray for those that are in harm's way. And one last thing I've got to say, the two officers that were ambushed shot over the weekend. And I read Todd Starnes tweeted out about the people blocking the entrance to the ER at the hospital. That's just evil. We so need to pray for our nation, don't we?
We do. And we are being confronted, if not attacked, on every side. So, Alex, it is a time of prayer. I know tomorrow night in Fayetteville, part of the town hall will be prayer time. And we ask everybody to begin prayer. But we want you to lead us in prayer now. And again, all over America, you know, you can pray and drive. You can pray where you are, work, or in your kitchen, but join Alex in leading us in prayer right now. Alex, go ahead, brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, as we read Matthew 20, and Christ went all the way to Jerusalem, all the way up Calvary's mountain to be nailed to a cross, to pay for our sins. And Lord, how we thank you and we give you the glory. And Lord, right now we pray for our nation. Oh, dear Lord, how we need the Spirit of God to blanket over this country. Lord, I pray for the people that are facing tornadoes and hurricanes, and Lord, protect them in that inclement weather, protect houses and lives, and just give people what they need. And Lord, may this be a time that people solidly turn to you. I pray for Washington State and Northern California and the fires on the West Coast, that you would send rain and Lord, protect the firefighters and protect people and their homes. And Lord, put those fires out, please. But Lord, this year we've watched the quarantine and the virus, and now 3 months plus of rioting and violence. And Lord, people hate America because they hate you. And Lord, we ask that you would, in your power and your mercy, Lord, sustain this country, turn America back to you. Lord, if it takes hard times to humble us and cause us to pray, then so be it. But Lord, I pray you would subdue evil, and may the power of the Holy Spirit restrain violence and evil. And please let truth and grace and peace and stability reign over this land. And Lord, I do pray for the upcoming election. Lord, thy will be done. Please let it be an honest vote count. No fraud, no dishonesty. Lord, your will be done. And Lord, to everybody listening, Lord, I pray a blessing over all these listeners and Bird and the AFA family and myself. And Lord, just help us to grow in Christ. Help us to witness fruitfully. And Lord, please, again, make America a nation under God. In Christ's name and for his glory, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. And we thank you for all over America joining in this prayer. And we don't want to stop. I pray you to be continually on your mind. One thing let me say about the left hand and right hand. I think it's also, yes, crucifixion, but I think it's the price of leadership. Alex, I've pastoring for as many years as I did as a leader in a church and being an organization where as chairman of the board of certain things. When you're not in leadership, you look at it and say, man, I'd do it this way, I'd do that. And so I think here is John and James saying, oh, let us have our position so we can have authority, so we can have all of that we need. And I don't mean to be anything but truthful. A lot of times when people want power and they want authority, I'm not sure they know what they're asking for, Alex.
I know. I would agree. You know, we went to the Billy Graham Museum last Thursday, and certainly God elevated Billy Graham, and he was used mightily. But he said in a number of places he never sought that. He didn't try to build it or contrive it. God entrusted him with it. But you're right. When people ask for things like that, they might not know what they're asking for. These blind men came to Jesus outside of Jericho on the Jericho Road, and they cried out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And the crowd rebuked them and said, "Be silent." But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Hey, Bert, let me say this. Calling him Lord and recognizing that Jesus was the rightful heir to the throne of David, these men might have been blind physically, but they had a lot of vision. They understood who Jesus was, didn't they?
They did. Preach it, Alex. And if you find this in Mark and Luke, and you find both of them, and there was one of them's name was Bartimaeus. And Mark and Luke both just talk about Bartimaeus. I think the recognition was he probably became a follower and became recognized. And in that day, they knew him. But if there were two, there were one. This is one of those places. See, there was two, and they say there was just one. Well, I want to quote my professor at Blue Mountain College, James Travis. He said, if there was two, there had to be one. And and they just reported on the one. And Matthew, that I would say the tax collector who counts real well, he brought it up to the two. And I love what Jesus says. What do you want me to do for you? Wow, what a question. Wouldn't you love to have that with the Lord came to you? What do you want me to do for you, Alex? What do you want to do for me, Devin? What do you want me to do for you, Bert? What would we say, Alex? Well, you know, if I was blind, I believe I would say, yes, give me my sight. But with where we are today, the question is, what would you ask for? What would, you know, so would it be to glorify the Lord? Now, this is interesting. This follows James and John and their mother asking for them to have position and did not consider the glory of Jesus. These two men, as you just said, Lord, Son of David, you know, they already recognized him and they were ready. I think they were ready to give him glory at their healing, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, when I became a youth pastor, I learned this song and I would lead my teenagers in the song, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. Do you remember that song?
I do. I love that song. I still do love it.
And you know, folks, that is the greatest thing we could want for ourselves, because when God is on the throne of our life and Jesus is leading our life and we are living for his glory, then the blessing of God and the thing, all those other things we need will be there. Verse 34, Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes. Immediately they received sight. All right, I'm glad to know that God shows compassion. That's pity. I'm glad that God can act. He literally can touch us. And I'm glad that what God does has results.
Amen.
Immediately they receive sight. Bert, God is still able to see, to know our need, to touch our lives, and there's result from it. The God of Matthew 20 is still touching lives today, isn't he?
Amen. And those lives he touched, look at the last three words, they followed him.
Amen.
And their lives, as you said it, Alex, they were blind, but they had spiritual vision. And when their eyes were opened, they followed him. Now, notice that. That's the last words in chapter 20. And then it opens up in chapter 21 with him coming to Jerusalem. Now, this is quite a trek. And I know you've made it because you've been in the Holy Land. That trek from Jericho to Jerusalem is going upward. It's a constant incline going up. So they were going up to Jerusalem. And these two men, they came a part of the entourage that was following Jesus, and they would follow him to Jerusalem. And I could not help but notice that they followed him, and then it says, then he drew near to Jerusalem. Alex, you know, we need to stay close to the Lord wherever he leads.
Yes.
You're talking about the song, wherever he leads, I'll go. And he was coming to Jerusalem for purpose. Now, he's going to have the triumphant entry, but that was downhill from there for his not downhill for Jesus for his purpose, but downhill for how they were treating him, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing about it, it talks about for the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Bert, don't you think one of the ways that we can follow Christ and we can get through our hard times and the deep valleys for the glory, speak to this if you would, Bert, for the glory set before him. Look, we all get tempted. We all get distracted. We all get weary. But I think about heaven. I think about hearing God say, well done. I think about the day we see Jesus face to face. Don't you think it's important to keep in view? Well, you know, they talk about the long game. You know, you might lose a little bit of yardage right here, but ultimately you're going to get the ball across the goal line. Think about the glory of finishing well, leaving a legacy, making a good testimony, and facing God one day unashamed. Isn't that one of the important things to keep us on point?
It is, Alex. And you talked about Jesus enduring the cross. It didn't say he enjoyed the cross. Says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I think that's with us as well. You remember what Paul would write to Timothy? And he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So some of the things we do here upon earth is endurance, Alex, for the joy that we have waiting upon us. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for those that come to him in glory. So, yes, right now, a lot of the people who are listening to us, Alex, they're going through some of the hardest times. They've been isolated because of the virus. Some people are their jobs, their businesses is suffering so bad because of so many things going on. And we have people out in Washington, Oregon. We have listeners out there and the possibility of what they're doing. I know the smoke is there. They said some of the smoke from the fires have gotten all the way over to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where that, from a picture from up in space. So it's difficult. So what you just said, Jesus enduring the cross, we do endure to the end. And God will bless you. And when it gets tough, I'm just going to quote an old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. There's some truth in that, isn't there?
Well, it is. It is. And, it's interesting to me. All right, Jesus had predicted that he's going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, and then they're on their way. They're outside of Jericho, and he heals these two blind men. And by the way, I believe you will meet Bartimaeus in heaven. I do. And all along the journey, he shows these things of his power and his deity. There's going to be another one here in 21. As they drew near to Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage, the Mount of Olives. And Jesus says, go into the village, and you're going to find a donkey tied and a colt. Yeah. Untie them, bring them to me. If anybody says, what are you doing? Say, the Lord has need of them. When I was a little boy, I would hear this story, and I always loved that. And I thought, I wonder if I could just go into the toy store and get me that toy airplane and just say, the Lord has need of it. But
it didn't work, did it?
I never did try it.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. He's fulfilling prophecy. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, riding on a donkey. This is from Zechariah. But even in the times of confusion, questions, struggle, God continually gives them these little glimpses. Hey, keep on trusting me. I'm in control. I think he does that in our own lives, Bert.
Yes, he does. And Alex, the colt is what he rode, a colt that had, and others that had never been ridden before. And it, we talk about how he could control the storm. Here he controls a colt, and later on he's going to control a fig bush, and he's in control. That's the whole thing. And Jesus was in control all the way through the crucifixion.
Well, we speak of the sovereignty of God. In Britain, one of the units of currency is the sovereign, a coin. It's got a picture of the queen on it, a sovereign, because the queen is the one in power. Well, when we speak of God's sovereignty, we know God is in control. Now, our nation, a lot of people are very concerned about our country. I am too. But God is sovereign. Now, we need to pray. We need to do right. We need to influence people. But, Bert, isn't it a comfort, an absolute comfort, to know that overall God is sovereignly in control?
Amen. And you can trust him. That's the bottom line. You can trust him. We pray and that you're trusting him. Even in this difficult time we're going through, we want this program to be a biblical truth storehouse for you. And in that, you can trust him. Listen, we want phone calls. That number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683. 2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who'll pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
In Acts chapter 1:8, when he says we're to be witnesses, he says in Jerusalem, Judea, that was the surrounding area. Samaria, oh, now we're getting into a cross culture.
Wrong side of the tracks.
Wrong side of the tracks, wrong people, and to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Exploring Missions with Bert Harper.
Saturday evenings at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 on American Family Radio.
That's what he said. You shall be my witnesses.
Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A popular effort in social revisionism is happening, where racism, which is better described in biblical terms as skin color-based partiality, is a crime of which only people of lighter skin color can be guilty. Let's be clear. Factions, divisions, and dissensions, including those based on skin color, are the fruit of the sinful flesh. The root cause of partiality is sin. Every person, regardless of the quantity of melanin in their skin, is capable of partiality. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Zion National Park is Utah's first national park. The official park tour guide explains how Zion Canyon got its name from the Bible, specifically Isaiah 2, verse 3.
The guidebook reads, Pioneer Isaac Behunin, leafing through the book of Isaiah one evening, was struck by the way the setting sun's last ruddy light hit Red Arch Mountain. The name came to him by epiphany, as he skimmed through Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up the mountain of the Lord, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law.
The name was adopted by the National Park Service when they officially established the park in 1919.
Engage with the Bible and its impact on history, culture, and art.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you. We're taking those phone calls. That number again, 888-589-8840. And we're going to go straight to the lines. But let me give you homework a little bit. We'll probably review a little bit of chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. But the main thing, if you would read verse 12 through the end of the chapter, verse 46, you'll be ready for tomorrow, getting you ready. He's going to cleanse the temple. And again, they're going to ask him about his authority. You're going to get two or three of the best, I think, parables concerning authority and outcome you'll do tomorrow. So be ready. I think you'll be blessed. Well, Alex, you ready to go to the phone lines, brother?
888-589-8840. Call us at Exploring the Word.
Okay, we're going to go to Texas and go to Debbie. Debbie, welcome.
Hello, how are you today?
Doing good today. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Wanted to share something with you when I heard your part of your message. I am from an area called Gatesville, Texas. It's near Waco. And we are having a call to our courthouse on Friday. And it is really a call of the Feast of Trumpets where people come in. And basically the church ask for repentance and forgiveness so that God will be able to do what he needs to do to draw people to Jesus. We have set up a tent in the community to just right off of Main Street to call people just to come into the tent and pray.
Now, Debbie, where is that in Texas? What's the name of your town?
Gatesville, Texas.
G-A-T. G-A-T-E-S-V-I-L-L-E. Okay.
L-L-E.
Okay. Amen. Alex?
Amen.
You're not
hey,
the only
great folks down there.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
I think it was a fall about 3 years ago. I was down in that region and in several churches, and that is wonderful. That's what we need, folks, is prayer.
And let God lead you. I take something you hear about what God's doing. You're not trying to duplicate it. Don't hear the word duplication. but you're to spread it. I remember hearing about the Asbury Revival that took place in the 60s. It was just awesome. I've read three or four books about it, and the thing was what God did there, and they would go and they'd say, look what God's done there. Can he do it here? And guess what? He did. So take this formula of prayer, however you do it, a tent on Main Street or whatever, the church gathering together, or go to Rockfish and a group of people gathering together, and what's happening in Orange County, California, at Huntington Beach. Alex, God's, even in the midst of all this, God's working. One example of that, the period of the judges were hideous and horrible, but guess what happened? The book of Ruth took place during that period of time when this godly woman called Ruth would come out and she would be one of the ancestors of the Savior. You know, in the midst of the blackness and darkness of the hour, God's at work, isn't he?
He isn't. Let me encourage you all. There's something so powerful when the body of believers comes together. And, you know, you might be Baptist or Methodist or Assembly of God or Pentecostal or non-denominational or evangelical Catholic or Presbyterian, whatever. Listen, we need the body of Christ to come together and, number one, lift up Jesus, exalt the risen Christ, and then pray. And, Bert, I can just tell you, having been all around the country and beyond, when the body of believers comes together and leave your denominational label at the door, just come together as people that love Jesus Christ, there is power in that, isn't there?
There is. I want to read a passage of Scripture, and we'll get back to the phone calls. It's Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Listen to this. Paul writes, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that's us, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now listen to this third verse. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're not to go out and try to find all the differences that separate us. We're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Just like you just said that, Alex, you know, trusting Jesus as Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life, that through the Holy Spirit, we have him coming living in us. Alex, praise the Lord, and we're asking God to raise up these kind of meetings all over the United States, aren't
we? Yes, yes. Start a prayer initiative in your community, folks. You can do it.
Okay. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Tim. Tim, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi there, Alex, Bert, how are you today?
We're doing good, brother.
Good to
hear from you.
Great. I just want to tell both of you, my wife and I, Nancy, enjoy your program so much and appreciate your prayer earlier, Alex. And we pray for revival all the time. And Alex, real quick, I had the privilege with my wife a few weeks back to be with you in the Cove, and it was some highlight of our life. I mean, it was awesome. And I did not get a chance to ask you a question, Alex, and it's been on my mind quite a bit. And going along with what you're talking about today as far as the world and we need revival, but it's in Matthew 24:22, Alex. It says, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days would be shortened. I just wondered what you both thought of that scripture. I'm not sure. I've been a Christian for years and years, but I'd like maybe your interpretation on that.
Well, God bless you. And by the way, thank you for being at the Cove. I will be there again next summer. They've invited me, and I don't know exactly what topic we'll do, but thank you for being there. And let me encourage you, folks, the Billy Graham Ministry, the Cove, is just such a wonderful conference center. But in Matthew 24:15, it says, when you see the desolation of abomination spoken by Daniel, Bert, I understand this to mean during the tribulation period, it is going to become so violent and so bloody. The Antichrist is on this rampage, just killing people. The elect, who are those in verse 22? Well, those are believers that they are elected to be glorified in heaven with Christ someday because they've trusted the Savior. And it says that this great tribulation, such has not been seen from the beginning of the world, and no, never will be. So I believe verse 21 tells us that this is speaking of some future time period. And there's been a lot of violence and war, but during the seven-year tribulation, the second half especially, it is going to be the worst time of violence, war, cruelty the world has ever seen. And God intervenes because the whole human race would have been extinguished if God didn't intervene because of the unrelenting evil of the Antichrist and his regime. And so there will be people that are believers that go alive from the tribulation into the millennium, as I understand it, Bert. And so for a number of reasons, because of God's plan, God's sovereignty, but partially because of mercy extended. And let me just say this, and I'll throw to you. God intervenes at the height of the wickedness of the tribulation. And part of the mercy of God is because of a remnant of believers. I would say this, Bert, and I want you to comment. Now, things might be kind of bad in America right now, but I'm going to tell you part of the reason that things are as good as they are is because of God's love and mercy and care for the church.
I agree fully, Alex. Now, just remember, part of the tribulation is God's judgment. Now, how does God judge? Sometimes he pulls his hand back and let the consequences fall. That's part of what takes place. And he said, because of the elect's sake, I am shortening that time. In other words, if God truthfully could do this, Alex, he could let the judgment go on more than 7 years. It could be more than the last 3.5 years. That judgment that is deserved because of man's rebellion could be longer than that. But for the very elect's sake, he shortens it to that. Now, you catch what? I think that has something
exactly.
To do. So anyway, Tim, man, I'm glad you got to go to the Cove and be there with Alex. It's always a blessing. And Alex and I both enjoy meeting when we're out and about. And it's been tough the last few months not to be able to meet people like we usually do. But, Tim, thank you for your call. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Matthew. Matthew, welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well today.
Good. I want to thank y'all for what y'all do, and God bless y'all. Y'all are amazing.
Bless you.
But I have a question, though. Well, about 2 months ago, I lost my youngest son, and I've been looking for answers high and low on why, you know, and I just can't understand why. And I'm just having a hard time filling that hole. And, you know, I know he's in heaven with the Lord. I just don't know the answer, you know.
Yeah, Matthew.
I'm so sorry.
Man, we hurt with you. I wish, you know, Alex, there's times when we wish we had answers, but you remember that little song? And I don't mean to be quip on this. When answers are not enough, there's Jesus. Even if you had answers, Matthew, the loss is still painful. And let me share with you, one of our colleagues here at AFR, J.J. Jasper, you may have heard him. He lost his son, Cooper, and he wrote a book, Losing Cooper. And I think you can go to J.J. Jasper, on Facebook, and you can find out how to order that. Matthew, he goes through the struggle, and he wrote that book with people like you in mind. And again, not that J.J. has answers, but it the Bible talks about comforting with the same comfort that you've been comforted with. J.J. found comfort from the Lord, and he shares that in his book. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I want to say our condolences, and I'm sorry for your loss. And we don't know why. We honestly don't know why, but we know who and we know what. The who is Jesus, and the what is turned to him. In John 6, verse 68, a lot of people left and abandoned Jesus. Jesus asked the disciples, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And let me just encourage you, and I believe you already know this, but when you've got unresolved questions and the loss of a child is so hard, don't turn to the bottle. That's not going to do any good. And don't push God away. That's not going to help. Turn to Jesus. That's all I can say. I certainly don't know why bad things happen, but I know the answer to heal and actually even to rejoice and move on and to be strong is to turn all the more closely to Christ.
Amen. We're going to ask, we've prayed once today, we're going to pray again. I'll lead in this prayer, and we're asking people from all over America to pray for Matthew and his family, the hurt there. We're not going to get to probably any other calls after this call, but we got a prayer from April from Kansas, and I bet you're listening. We're going to be praying for you, April, but you can call in and fill us in more specifically another time, but we're going to be praying for you as well. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm praying for Matthew right now.
Yes.
Father, I can even become even acquainted with the grief that must be real to him. Father, I pray that you would bring a peace to him as he turns to you. I know in the book that J.J. wrote, he said losing a child is like an amputation. It just can't be replaced. You go through life without that. And Father, I pray that you would help Matthew in such a real way. And I pray that you would help his family as they struggle through this time. And Father, I thank you. I pray for April. She's called in, and we don't know the specifics, but she feels like she's under attack. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for April. I pray for victory. I pray that there'd be no dominion, spiritual dominion over her, except the Lord Jesus Christ having his way in her life. And I pray that she would turn unto you. And Father, that you would meet that need according to your riches in Christ. We pray for Alex tonight there in West Virginia. Father, I pray that as they gather, you would just bless them indeed, strengthen them. We pray for tomorrow night in Fayetteville, Father, that you would do such a work there that we could understand that prayer is going up, that prayer that's in Gatesville, Texas. Father, we're praying that those prayers would continue all over America as we come and petition you. We pray for our president. We pray for our other leaders, God. Yes. Give them wisdom. And I pray, Father, for those that want to perpetrate evil, I pray that their plans will fail. I pray, God, that there would be confusion in their ranks, and, Father, that they would find out that they cannot and will not succeed. Father, we just pray that you'd bless Exploring the Word, bless AFR, that we might be that light to hold up Jesus Christ, and men and women, boys and girls everywhere would be drawn unto you. This is our prayer. This is our desire in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bert, aren't you glad that Jesus is as close by as a prayer?
Alex, listen, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And if you're out there and you need help, 888 need him, call them. They'll help you. They'll pray with you, and they'll lead you to the place in your life where you invite Christ in to be Lord and Savior. Alex, it's a journey worth taking, isn't it?
Absolutely, folks. We want to thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Thank you for your stand for Christ, and we look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, Bert, what do we ask?
One about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.